This is The Heat Source, the podcast where we learn everything we can about hot sauce, one bottle at a time. We're your hosts, Mike and Matt, and today we're trying Beecher Meat from Down to Ferment and Tiki Hot Masala from High Desert Sauce Company. Let's heat up. Welcome back to The Heat Source, where we learn about new sauces weekly, one bottle at a time. We are back with two sauce makers, both from out west. Tucson, Arizona for one, San Diego for the other, in Down to Ferment and High Desert Sauce Company. So this is pretty exciting, but I do have to mention this episode's coming out a week after we did the Lost episode.
Yes.
It was very jarring editing an episode from 8 months ago, 9 months ago.
With a totally different setup and software and everything.
Mostly because we have an intro, we have an outro. That was before we had any of those things.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what am I doing? So it is nice to get back.
You felt strongly enough about me to text me and say, I'm mad at you right now.
Well, yeah. Also because I can't edit coughs and clearings of throats, because it is something where with any episode or any show that you do, food or where you're eating stuff, that you're already going to deal with that. But when you're dealing with hot sauce where you're salivating and there's reacting, and you know, I had hiccups one time from the mommy sauce, that's bad enough. But the way we had it set up before, it was just hard to edit that out, where I'm like, I was talking about something important and Mike just coughed. Like, okay.
I'm so sorry.
But it's fine.
I remember that episode was specifically bad. I had something going on. I don't know if it was like a cold or what, but
yeah, I don't know what it was, but we got through it. I think it was a fun episode. It was nice to you get a side-by-side of what our old episodes were like to what our new ones are. But these ones I'm pretty excited about. The Down to Ferment, which already their naming is always fun. Their Beecher Meat Kombucha Hot Sauce is one of our sauces today.
I don't know why any of that makes you giggle.
I don't know why. And then Tikkat Masala from High Desert Sauce Company, which is a Hot Ones alum, this sauce here. So both of these, I've been really excited to try. I mean, both of these brands, I don't know if there's a sauce we've tried or seen that we're not like, oh, that would be good. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna get into that. We have to play a couple games, as we always do. Mm-hmm. One of these, and I was thinking about this, at some point I think we'll have to either change the games or we'll have to move on from the games, because it will, until it's no longer fun for me. I don't know about for you.
Run out of places to eat.
Yeah. Let's do that one first. So you've said before that it's not that you dislike Subway, it's just that you could think of 50 other places you'd rather eat than Subway. And we're making a tally. So what's a place that you would eat over Subway?
Whataburger.
I've never had Whataburger.
I met the granddaughter of the exclusive beef provider of Whataburger, mm-hmm, down in Texas. We were at a buddy's wedding, rented out one of George Strait, the country singer, one of his resorts.
Okay.
And we're in the pool just talking to this couple, and she's like, oh yeah, my grandpa's like the exclusive beef provider of Whataburger. And my goodness, was she rich. We're sitting there. We actually had dinner with him that night. And Courtney's like, do you know how much that dress is?
How long has that been? How long has Whataburger been around?
I don't know.
Because it's not in the Midwest. It's not in Michigan that I remember. Mm-mm. Is it?
No, we had it in Texas. I think it is just mostly a Texas thing, but it might be kind of expanding through the Southwest.
What do you want to guess is the closest? Guess a mileage of how far the nearest Whataburger is.
Mileage?
Yeah, guess miles.
I'm going to go with 2,798.
The nearest one to us is in Missouri, so it's 640 miles.
Ah.
So still, that also is an outlier. That's the only one in that state.
Gotcha.
I will say, just because you're talking about Whataburger and you're talking about kind of the heir to the Whataburger franchise, I just read an article about the Mr. Burger franchise, mm-hmm, which is a Michigan-specific, I think it's West Michigan-specific franchise. It's like 7 locations in West Michigan. Mm-hmm. And then their son is taking over the business, but he's also in his free time, he's also a DJ.
Really?
Mr. Burger, the setup of Mr. Burger, at no point would you think the person that runs this also likes to DJ. It is traditional, classic diner.
It is
diner.
Your classic, old school, grab a plastic tray.
Yeah. Walk up to a tray, grab a slice of pie that's already covered in saran wrap. So
there's the salad bar, but then you order, you know, your diner food from the counter where you slide your tray down mm-hmm. That's so funny.
I asked them one time just because I'm always curious. I'm like, what do you guys like cook with? And they're like, butter oil. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I'm like, I'm not going to ask any more questions on that. That seems
butter oil.
Pulling
what
up
are we having
there.
For dinner? Beefsteak.
Beefsteak. The other game we like to play, an idea that Mammoth Sauce Company has provided us, which also he provided us with our tasting spoons. So I feel it was a good idea for a game anyway, but I also feel obligated to play this game, at least for most of this year, which we have. I'm going to name a person, and you're going to tell me if you think it's a hot sauce maker or an NBA basketball player.
I'm going to correct you. I'm going to guess. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to guess.
You are going to definitively, confidently tell me. That person is Dave Bing.
Dave Bing.
Great name. Really, he should be selling, like, bells, doorbells.
Or search engines, one of the two.
Yeah, he is not the founder of the search engine.
I'm going to go hot sauce maker.
Unfortunately, Dave Bing is a legendary Detroit Pistons player.
Really?
From, I believe, the 70s.
Leading scorer, huh?
I mean, of those teams, but those teams weren't good. So that's one thing with the Pistons. We have some great years, but then also we have some years of, I mean, I don't know how to say this nicely. There's just years where we weren't in good standing with the league.
Detroit is where amazing athletes go to be nobodies.
Okay. Well, that's harsh. But he was...
Hold on. Oh, never. No.
We'll move on from this. This isn't a sports podcast.
Not sponsored by the Ford family.
Not sponsored by the Ford family at all. And also, I could go into a whole laundry list of Pistons players that came over here, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so good. And then they fizzle. Allen Iverson, Joe Smith. Anyway, seven-time All-Star. Hot sauce makers. Seven-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA, Rookie of the Year, NBA 75th anniversary top 75 player in the league. But yeah, he was a point guard and 6'3". He still does a lot for the city of Detroit and Michigan. I believe he was mayor at one point. So
I feel like I should know about that one, though.
I was going to say David Bing, but I'm like, let's not try to get tricky or fancy with this.
That has hot sauce written all over it.
Yeah.
David Bing. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we're going to get into this. So we have our two sauces that we're going to try. We're going to start with our Down to Ferment. But before we do that, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor of the episode.
Woohoo.
And that's real. We're not doing a joke, not a sponsor. This is our sponsor. Our sponsor is Scoville.com. And they're introducing a brand new feature as part of their site where they have a Hot Sauce of the Month Club, where it's a subscription box where you actually get to pick the heat, the flavor, the food pairings, whatever you want in the box. A lot of subscription boxes are out there. I think one thing that's always interesting to me is you don't really have a say in it. You are sent surprise sauces every mm-hmm. month, and that's fun. But this one has a surprise option, but you get to pick the heat level, flavor profiles that you want, food pairings. We actually went through the signing up of this. I think we talked about medium heat. I picked surprise me for flavor profile because I'm like, fruity, smoky, garlicky, whatever it is, you know. And then I picked the most basic hot sauce pairings I could think of because I always want something for tacos, wings, breakfast, and I think burgers, or no, pizza.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like the four horsemen of the hot sauce. Well, mac and cheese would have been a good one too, but I feel like if it works on those, mm-hmm. it works on all of them. But
yeah,
it's interesting because they're specially curated. So I talked to the guys over at Scoville, they're like, yeah, we just hand selected yours. So it's not a algorithm or, you know, anything like that. And then you pick your preferences. They've got a shop online that has over like 400 craft hot sauces from, you know, different small batch makers, over 50 makers. And it's growing as we speak. Every time I see their Instagram, there's a new sauce maker they've added. I feel like we're helping them. I hope we're helping them with here's a sauce maker you should check out. Mm-hmm. I've seen quite a few that we've reviewed. But, yep, you can filter your options on Scoville.com when you're looking for what hot sauce you want to buy based on any of those things, heat level, ingredients, peppers, food pairings, any restrictions. So,
yeah, the user interface for this is awesome.
It's great.
That's so cool.
It's very simple. It's, you know, I think it took me I kept saying, I'll get it done this weekend. And I just was so busy. And then he's like, it literally takes 5 minutes. Yeah. And it took less because you just pick your options. They send them out. You get a, you know, they have options of pay as you go monthly, you know, prepay for 6 months for a year, but just a really great option where you have a little bit of control if you want, but you can also use it as a surprise.
Yeah, so for sure. And it's, I mean, it's a great gift setup. I know on a more traditional kind of blind subscription box my brother mm-hmm. got, he was giving me a lot of his sauces that were gifted to him.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have the freedom to, you know, I only prefer mild or medium.
Right.
He was getting blown out every other bottle. He's like,
you know. Well, because in the hot sauce world, I mean, we know, we don't really go for, I mean, other than Mommy Sauce, La Muerte 2.0, One Drop, we don't really go for any of the insane heaters consistently. So if we got one that was just extreme heat the whole way, that wouldn't really fit with what we like to do on an everyday, you know, mm-hmm. day-to-day enjoyment. But with this one, you can pick 3 bottles per box, 1 bottle per box. You have a lot of customization, but it's not overly complicated.
Yeah.
That is our sponsor of the episode. We'll mention them again at the end, but that's Scoville.com. And right at the top, there's a subscription box option. And they have, you can set up your account. You can set up your, you know, all your preferences. And again, Scoville.com, the first official sponsor.
That's exciting.
Of the heat
source. That's
cool. Yeah. That's weird.
That's weird.
That's weird. It's great. We're going to, so stay tuned for future episodes. So they are sponsoring a couple episodes because we are going to be hint, hint, doing a giveaway next week with them. So this is our first sponsor, just to introduce you to what they're all about. And then we are going to be announcing a collaboration giveaway next week with Scoville.com. Also, Michigan based people. So Michigan supporting Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
High five to Mittens, you know, the whole thing. All right. So let's get back into the hot sauce. So we're going to go into Down to Ferment. I almost started with, all right, we're going to go to Beat Your Meat.
I'm looking at your web browser tabs, and all I can see is Beat Your Meat.
I will tell you that.
I hope your wife walks down here right now.
You know, it is something where usually I don't have a problem with my search history on hot sauce research. This one's a little bit tricky. Now, their description on their website for this sauce, it says, move over A1, Beat Your Meat is here to slather your meats. The beets are the star of the show with this subtle hint of horseradish, which I love, and Fresno kick to your senses. This one starts off tangy, then melds into the subtle, sweet, yet earthy beets. It finishes with the kick of horseradish and Fresno chilies. Beat Your Meat isn't overly spicy, yet is a perfect complement to almost any food. And they have it as a 4 out of 10 heat on their scale. Recommended pairing steak, pork, mushrooms, Brussels sprouts, sausage. All of those sound great.
I feel like the horseradish is going to help me out. Our daughter's been going to daycare for about 15 days now, and I've been sick for 14 days now. So
that should clear up your sinus.
Yes.
Yeah, I love horseradish. I think I've talked about my traumatizing horseradish experience. Extra spicy my dad had in his fridge. Did not label it properly.
Yes.
I thought I was going to. I'm like, man, of all the ways to die. Horseradish.
Yeah. The ones my parents buy, they just put a red cap on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else on there that says like extra hot or hot. If you get your mouth on the wrong horseradish, you are in a lot of pain.
And then this one, just the ingredients. So these are Down to Ferment is that San Diego based hot sauce company. It started back in 2021, beginning of 2021 with Sean Kirkpatrick and Ryan Miner. They specifically are a fermentation company, but just happened to take off with this hot sauce side. I am curious eventually to try their, when they do like sauerkrauts and other fermented items, I'd love to test those out. Their fermented seasonings. You have a bottle of that. I just finished off a bottle of mine a while back. Really great seasonings. But the ingredients on this is kombucha culture, fermented beets, Fresno peppers, horseradish root, fennel, red onion, garlics, and salt, and then porcini mushroom. We've not had that many mushroom ones. We had that one mushroom reaper sauce.
Mm-hmm.
But let's give this one.
We've had a few. Every once in a while, someone sneaks mushrooms in.
I love mushrooms. I never eat mushrooms. Angela doesn't like them. She doesn't like the idea of them. She doesn't like the sliminess of them, which I'm telling her that's the wrong mushroom.
That's when the ones you get out of the white and green can.
Yeah.
That's what you don't want to introduce to on mushrooms.
But have you ever had like the spicy marinated mushrooms that are pretty much slimy, but they're like oil?
Oh, yeah.
I love those.
Yeah. No, I like them too, but I can see why people don't like them.
So I'm going to try to get as close as I can. Not bad.
You did it through the abyss.
Through the abyss. Echo chamber.
No, right. I'll have to come over and cook her. It's almost that time of year for like mushroom pickers. I know everyone talks about like spring morels.
I just love the phrase mushroom pickers because it always sounds insulting.
Mushroom picker.
I think you said that one time. It's like, oh, my family is a bunch of mushroom pickers. It's like
it makes them sound like just forest people, like people walking around with moss growing on their shoulder.
And that smells really good.
Ooh, that does smell good. Very garlicky.
I mean, like I said, I'm down for horseradish. I love beets. I don't have beets that often. I grew up on canned beets, though, so raw beets is a totally new world for me.
Yeah, we'd never had raw beets growing up. Courtney made me a salad when we first started dating that was a raw beet salad. Yeah. And normally I do that.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I spilled two drops.
But the
mushroom.
The shock factor when you go to take a leak the next morning after eating beets, you're like,
oh, yeah.
Well, I'm dying.
I
had beets last night.
I had a whole bag of beet chips. And I was just like,
something's wrong.
All right, let's think about this. I'm like, let's not freak out just yet. But it was the other way around. It wasn't peeing it out. Anyway, let's try this before I get grosser.
Let's eat. That's interesting.
So as the mushroom, you have the kick of the horseradish.
Yeah, I get a lot of horseradish.
It's a nice low burn. It has heat to it, but it's not anything crazy. It has a pretty thicker texture to it.
I can see how that would pair well with a red meat. It's got like a garlicky body to it.
Yeah, you got the garlic, the fennel, the horseradish all come together. And all of those things, if you're making a steak and you have any of those things, it's just going to work really well together. The beets don't really give like an overtly beet flavor to them. But I like how they talked about in their description how the earthy beets, it's kind of like brings like the grounding, that earthy grounding to the sauce. But this is really good.
That is.
That picture is of steak over like onions or shallots, or is that onions? Yeah.
Yeah.
The picture he has on the site there, perfect example. Pork chop, another one.
Dude, this would go good on a like prime rib. You know how they may have like the prime rib dipping sauces?
Prime rib or like a London broil.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The more I eat this, the more I'm like, okay, this was made for meat.
The back half is, to me, has a not strong mushroom, but like you have, if it's not a mushroom flavor, it has me in the same umami sense of like, all right, I just had
kind of a meaty taste. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a good one.
I like that.
They've done a good job. I mean, we only tried three of their sauces. One was a limited anniversary sauce, but who would have known I would have loved Beat Your Meat so much? Now, it does say if you drink the whole bottle, you do go blind. So that's a fair warning. Not true. Disclaimer, not true. I want to make sure no one takes, there's that person that takes everything literal and it's just like, they just said that a whole bottle makes them go blind. Oh no.
See, I do also someone's not picking up on that.
Yeah. I've had people in the past where you know that I usually try to deliver a joke where the first half seems very serious and true.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends with, oh, well, I wasted that whole time listening to this just for a joke.
Yeah.
Sometimes people focus on the first half and then the back half, they're just like, well, he started very serious, so this must be true.
Right.
Sometimes my dad does that, but I think it's because he kind of fades out of like paying attention. He's just like, okay. And then he just fades out and he's like, wow, that's crazy. And I'm like, you didn't get the punchline. You need to listen to the back half. No, I really like this one. I'm going to get started into my fact on this one. I'm curious which way you went on this.
I went with what I first dove into was the history of beating meat.
Of course.
Meat tenderization, to be exact.
That's what I thought you meant. That's exactly what I thought you meant.
But it evolved into just straight up meat and a really cool fact about the most expensive steak in the world.
The Wagyu?
No.
Okay. But also, just a side tangent, I thought when you were like, well, I went into the history of Beat Your Meat, I'm like, oh, so we're going to talk about cornflakes. Have you ever heard that story?
No.
I don't know.
Wait, is it the history of how cornflakes
were made? Why they invented cornflakes.
Ah, I do know about this. I couldn't tell it to you, but I've heard it before.
So in the young United States, one of the loudest anti-Beat Your Meat voices was John Harvey Kellogg, a physician and devout Seventh-day Adventist in Battle Creek, Michigan. In addition to running his successful surgery practice, Kellogg edited Good Health, the church's magazine promoting Adventist beliefs in healthy living, such as adopting a vegetarian diet, abstaining from alcohol, tobacco, caffeine, and getting plenty of fresh air and exercise. In this vein, the doctor also came to believe that sex, including certain things, was detrimental to physical, emotional, or spiritual well-being. He personally abstained from it and never consummated his marriage. Interesting. Keep that name, family name going strong. He started selling these cereals. He made these cereals specifically. So he developed a few flaked grain breakfast cereals, including cornflakes, as healthy, ready-to-eat, easily digestible morning meals. They thought that the cornflakes would curb one's
libido.
Libido. Yeah, we'll go with that. That's the best way to say it. Because it was healthy and deliberately bland was the whole thing. Because they wanted tasteless food as part of an extreme diet.
You know what I didn't think would be a challenge for me today?
Huh.
Keeping a family-friendly podcast family-friendly while discussing.
I don't know how much of that's going to make the air. Anyway, I'm going to go into my fun fact that has nothing to do with that. I went into, because I was surprised by this ingredient, horseradish.
Okay.
I didn't realize that it was in there when we initially got the bottle. So I know about the processed horseradish that we put on prime rib and things like that, mm-hmm. which this would go great on that. But I don't know as much about the horseradish, you know, the origins of it. So I went into specifically the heat of the horseradish. This is a hot sauce podcast. It's supposed to be. Okay. It's not when it's not godless about cereal. And the heat is actually due to a volatile compound called isothiocyanate. And horseradish won't be hot until it's grated or ground when the root cells are crushed and that isothiocyanate is released.
Is that like if a tree falls in the woods, does anyone hear it or does it make a sound?
Well, it's like crushing garlic, the allicin that makes the strong garlic. It doesn't grow in that, you know, strength of garlic until you actually break the cells.
How do you know, though?
I don't know. Science?
Because the only way to get to it would be to break the cells.
But it's something where if you're, I don't know. That's a good question.
Do you get what I mean?
I get what you're saying. So like if someone says, hey, this isn't hot, but once you break the cells, like they say, if you chew it.
Yeah. Like if I took one of those individual cells, like if I just put the whole thing in my mouth and not chew it,
it's nothing will happen. If you lick it, nothing's happening. Huh. But once you bite down on it, it says that mixing the hot air and saliva oxidizes the compound, creating the hot feeling that seems to really clear out those sinuses that you want.
That's awesome.
So they've already pre-broken down the cells for us,
mm-hmm.
and that's allowed us to
enjoy
this. I
definitely get a horseradish heat out of this, for sure.
Yeah, the horseradish with the Fresnos does go well together, where it's just a solid heat. That horseradish and the mushroom really gives it that meatiness to where... I've just been on a red meat kick anyway. I had bison burgers yesterday. I just really like grilling it up. So
my favorite prime rib sauce is actually a horseradish based sauce. So
what kind of horseradish sauce?
Oh, it's just like it's almost like heavy whipping cream, butter, and horseradish. Just a white sauce that goes on prime rib.
Yeah.
I don't have the exact recipe, but it's loosely that.
That's kind of when you said like a horseradish sauce, I thought of just like a white creamy horseradish sauce.
Yep.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. So for mine, I went with started looking up tenderizing meats mm-hmm. and got into dry aging and then looked up, just started to get into more expensive meats. So what I found was the most expensive steak in the world
mm-hmm.
is a 15-year-old hibernated steak.
Okay.
So it's, I guess you could call it dry aging. So they're 15 years old. And the way they do it is they blow air over it, negative 45 degree Fahrenheit air over the steak at 75 miles per hour. And this quote unquote hibernates the steak.
Okay.
And then they do that for 15 years. And then you can buy the steak.
Whose job is it to oversee this 15-year process?
I don't know.
What a boring is like, yeah, it's still sleeping. It's
still there.
I guess.
Hasn't moved.
75 mile per hour over it.
I'm curious because like sublimation, do you know what sublimation is? Like if you left an ice cube in the freezer for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
it's going to go away. Eventually that Sublimation is the process of going directly from a solid to a gas and skipping the liquid phase.
Okay.
I feel like all the moisture would just sublimate out of that at that temperature.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're talking minus 45 plus wind chill of 75 miles an hour. So that's really cold for 15 years. Huh. So I'm curious. To me, that almost seems like it's just freeze dried.
Yeah, that's... Nothing about that. Like sometimes you hear about the process, or I see YouTube videos of like, we're going to dry age this, or we're going to marinate this. And it's like, ooh, like I can already kind of taste a little bit or sense that this is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about that process makes me go like, yes. Like it sounds very involved, which I could see expensive because of how involved and time consuming it is. But nothing about it makes me go, God, I'd love to try that steak. Try that.
It makes me do that for sure. Because anything.
It would be more. Okay, we're going to use this because it was brought up recently. You texted me this. The Celsius Marshmallow Orange energy drink.
That guy deserves to get fired.
That you said tastes terrible. People are drinking that because they're like, that sounds interesting. I want to see what it's about. Maybe not necessarily that it's good, but like, I need to know what that tastes like.
Sure.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. I need to know what that tastes like.
I didn't buy that. Did you?
I didn't either. Okay. I don't do soda for my own health, and that's one of the reasons I don't end up doing Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew. But I feel like that's more in line where it's like, okay, I'm not going, wow, that sounds delicious. I'm going, I'm very interested to try that.
Yeah.
As long as, and I'm really with most food, I'm interested to try something once, as long as it's not something that's actually dangerous to me to eat.
I'm very curious about like fringe meats, like weird preservation techniques, weird cooking techniques, weird cuts of meat. Favorite show ever was Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern.
Okay.
I would sit there and I'd get mad by the end of the show because I'd be so jealous of what he got to do that I didn't.
I mean, I've never had like a different culture, a different type of food that I've never had before and go like, I've never really gone like, oh, I don't want to try that. I've always been like, that'd be interesting to try.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when I first tried cow tongue, they didn't tell me what it was, and I tried it, and it was delicious. I hope that I would have tried it at least once proactively if they told me what it was. But that kind of taught me where we used to have a sergeant in the guard that was like, I'll pay for your lunch if you try something that you've never had before. So I had like blood sausage and pig intestine and stuff.
Yeah.
Not great. Mm-hmm. But I've had it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as bad as you'd think, just not something we were like, oh, I got to get back there. Get some more of that.
Unless you're my dad. My dad will come home with like a ring of blood sausage and be like, dude, you hungry? Like, nope.
I tried it.
No, it's not bad.
It was funny though.
I can't sit there and eat a ring like he can.
I'm sitting there eating this going like, yeah, it's okay. And then the guy next to me just ordered like sweet and sour chicken, paid it for himself. He's like, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe it wasn't worth it every time to have them, you know, cover for the food. But
yeah. So real quick, your guess on the price of a 2000 vintage ribeye steak
like per pound or is it for the whole like a certain
like just for the cut? So if you're just going to pay for just a ribeye,
$6,000.
$3,200.
Okay,
it's a ton of money.
That's still a ton.
It's a little less than what I thought it was.
Went overboard because I've seen you see some of those expensive, like most expensive this, most expensive that. But usually it's because there's a lot of extra stuff on top or they put the flake gold or whatever.
Yeah.
Put some, you know, gold shavings on there. We can get it up to 6,000.
So I think we covered this before, but Salt Bae's gold plated tomahawk steak that he sells for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
There was some guy in line, really, really expensive restaurant owners got really mad at him because he recreated that exact steak for like $60.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we did talk about
gold foil is incredibly cheap because you can hammer it to one atom thick. It weighs nothing. It's so thin you can eat it. You're eating just straight up metal.
Or drink it.
Yeah. Gold, yeah. A little gold slick. That's why you can buy
it. Gold slick or Goldschlager? Is it the same thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a drinker.
I think I've had it before. It's been in the same house as me when I was drinking. At that point, all bets are off.
That's a little insight on it. The 75 mile an hour breeze at negative 45 was like, that caught my attention. I'm like, well, that's an interesting technique.
Seems like a lot of work. I buy a cheap cut, season it well, grill it right. I'm happy.
I'm going to go home and tell Courtney, like, we got to buy a wind tunnel and a chiller. I'm doing steaks tonight.
I wanted always to get from Unchopped. They always had the blast chiller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want a blast chiller.
Yeah.
And it's like, basically it's the refrigerator version of a freezer version of an air fryer.
Right.
It's like, we're just circulating cold air. And I'm like, well, that can't be that expensive. I'm sure they sell them. There's, you can only buy it commercially.
Yeah.
And it's thousands of dollars.
Oh yeah. I looked at getting a freeze dryer.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you ever do like backcountry, or I really like freeze dried fruit.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
I think like $3,000 for like a base model freeze dryer.
Like, I'm curious just if that's just the technology is that much, or it's just, you know, the...
It looks like the $30 dehydrator that sits on my counter.
Yeah.
It doesn't look anything special.
But no, the blast chiller, I also just thought, I'm like, do you realize how fast we could like cool off the food so we don't have to like let it cool down before we put it in the fridge? Because we don't want to like accidentally warm up the fridge. So...
Are you concerned about warming up your fridge?
Sometimes if it's like real hot. I mean, sometimes we'll cook dinner, we eat it right away. But then if we like took like minutes from being done, ground beef. I never
thought about that.
Our fridge is pretty full.
My food handling, like my, I think I'm a safe food handler, but I don't like, I'll let a steak sit in my fridge and air dry for, you know, a week, mm-hmm. or I'll let it thaw on the counter. Like, I don't think about it. But I also deal with wild game, which is a whole lot different than
yes.
store-bought.
Yeah, that's
just
the other thing.
It just doesn't bother me,
I've seen people talk about like you know, people would be out there hunting or, you know, catching something and they would just have it out.
Yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. I guess that's true.
Yeah, like I've been cleaning fish and just like take a fillet off a piece of salmon, like, oh man, that tastes good. I would not do that with a store-bought.
No.
That's been handled for probably a couple of weeks, flash frozen.
Anyway.
We're talking about meat, man.
We're talking a lot about
meat. Theme of the episode.
The theme is meat for the first half, at least. So let's talk about score for down to ferment. So again, this is a great one for, I would say, any type of cut of meat that you want to do. I'd say if you want to do like a stir fry where you have that mushroom flavor in, that would be really good. The horseradish, again, I always just go back to those cuts of meat, prime rib, get a nice London broil, nice, you know, nice cut of steak. So for this one, I had this as an 81.
It's 75.
Okay. Anything above 50, we recommend to buy. 75 and above is something where we would have it on rotation in our kitchen. I used to say we would keep it stocked year-round in our kitchen. I'm realizing that our kitchens don't have the space that they once did.
No.
So it's just a heavy rotation.
The good news is I broke my wife. She has not made a hot sauce
Let's get right to the explanation of that.
Yeah. She has not made a comment because I have exceeded my lovely wife's. She bought me a bin specifically for hot sauce. She's like, yeah, anything you want, as long as it fits in the bin. She's spilling over right now real bad. But yeah, the good news is we've hit some real dingers lately, and she's wolfing them down probably more than I am. So yeah, that's, I mean, where I'm getting away with it.
That's where I think her going to the Illinois show really helped, where she's like, okay, look at all this sauce. And then she's like, oh, this one looks good. And she actually got to pick some of her own.
Pick most of them, actually.
I think so.
I'll put anything in my mouth. So I was like, yeah, you pick what you want. And
that's the soundbite.
The meat is theme, man.
Meat is theme. Hopefully not for that quote. But no, this is a fantastic sauce. Down to Ferment, fantastic company out of San Diego. Just remember their website is down2ferment.com. Same with their Instagram, down2ferment. So check them out. Look for any updates on their Instagram. Check out their website for their full catalog. They have a lot of sauces. We've got like six. We've only gotten through three of them. We still have quite a few more to go. And they keep, you know, every year they do an anniversary sauce. So those ones, the bummer is that I'm finding this company now, we missed out on their first anniversary sauce.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, was like a Caribbean one.
Yeah. I still need to do I'm going to do a jerky dehydration video, venison.
Yeah.
With the anniversary sauce.
That'd be really good. Yeah. I remember you talking about that. So that would be good. But let's get into High Desert Sauce Company's Teacot Masala. This one, the color in this is much more uniquely like a light.
Like a creamy.
Yeah, like a creamy sauce here. Let's talk about the description here. Drawing inspiration from a classic tiki masala sauce, we pack the flavors of an entire meal into this bottle. Teacot Masala features a vibrant blend of sweet and savory flavors with creamy coconut milk and earthy spices. The 1-2 punch from ghost peppers and Carolina Reapers will knock you off your feet, and the heat takes this sauce over the top. Try a few dashes in soup, or on any rice dish, chicken, lamb, or any unbelievably delicious burn. Within the last 2 weeks, we've had two coconut milk sauces, because we had the Rock and Rasta as well from Hell's Kitchen. So this one, the peppers he has, Ghost, Anaheim, Carolina Reaper. Then he has coconut milk, vinegar, onion, agave nectar, tomato paste, kosher salt, cider vinegar, ginger, garlic, peppercorns, cumin seed, garam masala, a seasoning that we have enjoyed in hot gram sauce quite a bit, and then turmeric and coriander. So let's open this one up. Now, this one, again, was featured on Hot Ones. This is Zach Perkins out of Tucson, Arizona. We've met him on the Hot Sauce Summit when we first really started last year. And then we also tried his Ghost of Saffron sauce,
yeah,
which he did with Brian Ames.
In like 2012, how many times do you think he heard Zach Perkins?
What do you mean? Ann Perkins.
I know, but it just sounds so much like it.
I don't think, I feel like he probably doesn't know well with that group.
Out. Okay.
Well, I did that.
I'm glad that happened to you.
The seal.
We both flopped.
It opened. It did not open as cleanly as I wanted. Yeah, it's even got a little. It's got a little turtleneck on it now. Didn't fully come off. I'm gonna
Isn't
take a picture of
that. Isn't
that called a dicky? Yeah, it's got a little. Got a little dicky on the. I'm gonna take a picture of that. That'll be a photo. Uh oh, Mike's torso is in the background. Now you'll know what shirt Mike was wearing for this episode. All right. I know. Wow, the flavor from that. Let me mix this up a little bit.
Ooh. It's a lot of popping and crackling going on.
I know. Oh, the little dicky's kind of trying to come off. Let me do... It's got a thicker sauce. I don't know if it's just the kind of initial part. I'm going to smear that a little bit. Smell is fantastic. You get that garam masala. You get those seasonings, those spices.
I'm a sucker for coconut. If you can put coconut in anything, I'm going to eat it.
So we talked about this previously. I wasn't a big coconut fan, but I always just assumed when people talk coconut, that they're talking about those shavings. And I'm like, no, thank you. But coconut milk, coconut in like Thai food, I enjoy that very much. The coconut sauces we've had, wow, that's a big, you got a big pour there. All right, let's give it a try. Yeah.
Dang.
Big heat, though.
That's so good.
It's ramping up for me quite a bit.
Oh, mild side of extra hot. I didn't know that.
I said Reaper.
Yeah, but we've had some pretty mild Reaper sauces. Dude, that's really good.
That's burning me up a little bit.
Is it?
Hiccup.
Hiccup.
Uh-oh. Only the second hiccup sauce.
Dude, you are instantly sweaty. This is good. I'm instantly going back for more.
Great flavor.
Woo.
So I wouldn't automatically think chicken wings for this, but it was on Hot Ones. So then you think about that.
Where in the lineup was this on Hot Ones?
That's a good question. I'll look that up while I try to fight this hiccup.
Man, that's really good. I love the creaminess that coconut adds to these sauces. Any chicken and rice any chicken and rice dish.
Chicken and rice. So season 15, it was 6th.
Out of 10?
10.
Nice.
So 6 out of 10 on the, not the heat scale, on the lineup scale. So, I mean, I agree with them on this, like chicken, lamb, rice dishes, any good, yeah, just really any kind of good like Caribbean or Indian dish.
Yeah.
With that coconut milk.
Yep.
Yeah, I am immediately sweaty. We didn't talk about the heat on the down to ferment. I had that as a solid one. There wasn't really a strong heat on this.
I'd like a 2 on that one.
This one is a high 3 for me on heat.
Mm-hmm. It's getting hotter, but I
Here's
keep
the thing.
It. So.
I love the flavor. Now, I'm taking a break. Ooh. I'm taking a break from having another spoonful because this heat is kicking my butt a little bit.
Clearing the sinuses.
Yeah, just keep smelling. Between the horseradish of the one and the heat of this one, you're going to be set. But, yeah, amazing flavor. I just had, like, a quinoa dish with, like, fish and veggies. If I did, like, a chicken dish, do, like, a rice chicken dish with this, I wouldn't use as much as I normally use on sauce just because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
My mouth is salivating. Let me get into my fact.
You're a little sweaty up top there.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So even sometimes when I feel like, oh, I'm handling this one really well, my face will react.
Right.
This one, it is definitely telling you exactly how I'm feeling. So it's not like, oh, I don't feel that heat. This is a strong heat. This is a high three for me. It's not like a painful heat, but it is a high three is like reacting, sweating. Definitely one of those where you sometimes have to take a minute between bites.
Yeah.
For me. But no, that's the flavor is amazing. That's the only thing is that like, yep, the heat is strong, but the flavor is incredible. Wow. Okay. I'm going to get into my fact on this. So my fact, I went into the history of tiki masala. Yeah. No surprise. So there's a bit of controversy between where it originated from. So this is going to be a little bit long. I'm going to read this off because I want to make sure I get the details right on this. So according to the Culture Trip, Ali Ahmed Aslam was a chef at the Authentic Curry House, Shish Mahal in Glasgow, Scotland. Around the 1970s, one customer visited his curry house and complained about how dry the chicken was. So he created a quote-unquote gravy using tomato soup and extra spices. He tossed the chicken, which was coated with a curry spice dry rub, into the sauce. The customer loved the dish so much that he kept coming back with his friends to enjoy it. That's one story. However, I don't know why my eye was twitching. Not everyone believes this story. The Culture Trip points out that a recipe from Shahai chicken masala is found in Balbir Singh's 1961 cookbook, Indian Cookery, which was several years before Aslam's creation. Furthermore, food historians Colleen and Peter Grove claim that chicken tiki masala was the most certainly invented in Britain, probably by a Bangladeshi chef. There's more. Food critic Rahul Verma cites another origin of tiki masala, saying it's basically a Punjabi dish not more than 40 to 50 years old, and it must be an accidental discovery which has had periodical improvisations. Agreeing with Verma, Britannica notes that it's highly likely that tiki masala descended from the popular Indian dish butter chicken. The real difference between butter chicken and tiki masala is the curry base.
Really?
My contact's popping out. It wants to get out of here. It's like, too hot. Let's get out of here. So I love it when there's, I mean, you always like to know the origin of something, and it's always great to be like, okay, this is the real reason behind something.
Yeah.
But sometimes if, you know, it's more fun to be like, well, here's the three or four different ways people say it went.
Sure.
You choose your own adventure on which one you think it is.
Sure. From my unprofessional opinion, like, I don't know, when I think about dishes
you've
and stuff
you've had
like
butter
that.
Chicken before, though.
I love butter chicken.
I don't really have butter chicken.
This tastes a lot like butter chicken.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that I've had, at least. So,
yeah.
But I just think it's funny, like, finding the origins of a dish. Like, I'm sure there's just some off-the-radar great-great-great-grandma that was doing that for generations before. You know? And
yeah.
Then some chef did it, caught on. And it's like, oh, if you had their, you know, tiki masala or something like that. So I just think it's funny, like, to try to claim it. Like, you really think no one previously before you made that combination at all?
Yeah, I mean, especially when it's just a varied way off of something else. I mean, it makes most sense that, you know, it was kind of went off of another dish.
Yeah.
You know, where you have one dish from a culture and then it devolves or it goes to other countries. I mean, they said that, you know, tiki masala is very popular up in like Scotland and in, you know, up in that area where that seems oddly placed, but
it does seem super oddly placed. And I was going to make a comment about that. So you're talking about like these very like Indian flavors.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, would you say Scotland? Would you say Britain?
Yes. Scotland, the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's funny.
But no. So shrouded in mystery. We may never know, but,
I'm glad it happened either way.
Either way, glad it happened. He does have, so I'm curious because this is pretty hot, but was this one of them that you got in the hot version of his, cause you got that, like the hot versions
it
of all
might
of his
be,
sauce.
Actually. Do I have a bottle of this at home?
You might.
Dang.
But I don't know what makes that one hot or hotter than this.
I will say I'm on the second bottle of the, like the black label.
Yeah.
That second bottle is ripping hot. Really good.
Okay. I'm curious ripping which one hot. It is.
Yeah. I can't remember the, I'll go home and look at
it. Yeah. Cause, last year at one point, there was question on if High Desert Sauce was going to continue. And so he did some sales on different things. And so we got the black label. Mm-hmm. And I gifted that to you for Christmas where I was like, these are super hot. I'm not going to be able to enjoy them as much because my tolerance isn't there. And you've been able to. This one sounds like it's taking more time than the other one.
Yeah. Courtney was eating that red one the other day. I couldn't see her, but I could just hear her going like, I'm like, what are you doing over there? She's like, this red one, it's really good.
But here's the thing. It's like everyone goes like, oh, like that's too hot for me, or I don't want to suffer. It's like there's a lot of different things that you, you know, quote unquote, suffer through, but it's like a test or it's an endurance thing. It's like no one, you know, people run.
Yeah.
And they're like, no one's like, oh, yeah, I feel great afterwards. No, you're exhausted, but you did it. And it's like a test.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these extra hot ones, it's a test.
Yeah. As long as it's got good flavor, she will ride it out.
Within reason, you're physically fine. Now, if you excessively are drinking extremely hot ones with really hot peppers, you might be doing some issues with to your gut.
Yeah.
But within reason, you're perfectly fine
in 20 minutes.
Yeah, just give it a bit.
And then not fine in about 6 hours.
According to the meme that I put up, the Oppenheimer meme I put up.
The Barbie one killed me. That was so funny.
My favorite thing isn't, my favorite thing isn't always, is it the funniest meme that I can think of at the time? It's when people go like, oh yeah, I totally feel this. I totally get that. I'm like, people relate to it. That's where it's really good.
Sure.
All right. What do you got for facts?
All right. What direction do you think I went?
Tiki torches, tiki bars, tiki hut.
I already covered how my dad did that to me when I was a kid.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Never mind. No, what did you do?
Tarantulas.
Why would you do that to yourself? Because the high desert?
Yes.
Okay.
So when I think of high deserts, which fascinating ecosystem. I think I covered this on the last high desert sauce we did.
In case anyone's listening that's not aware, Mike does not enjoy spiders.
My legs shut off when I see spiders.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm, and I can't help it. Like, I love all creepy, crawly, everything's. I will hold. There's not a thing I won't hold or touch or pick up.
And you're a big outdoors guy. Like anything you see out there, you're like, oh, that's so cool.
I see a spider smaller than my pinky nail. I squeal, pass out in my own vomit. I can't help it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I want spiders because if I could be like a desert person and just live in the desert, I would. The thing that is holding me back from being a desert person is the fact that there's a lot of tarantulas in the desert. You don't always see them because they spend most of their time underground. But in the desert southwest, where high desert is located, do you know how many species of tarantula inhabit the United States of America?
How many species?
How many species?
No clue.
Friggin' 30. 30 different species of tarantula hang out in the United States.
I thought it was going to be bigger.
I mean, there's 900 worldwide, but we're talking like tarantulas, Matthew, like dinner plate sized adult snatchers.
I'm assuming mostly south.
Yes. And that was part of the other one I was going to get into. What do you think is the farthest, most state that has tarantulas?
Oklahoma?
Or the northernmost state. Sorry. I don't know. It's been a long day. The northernmost state that has tarantulas.
Oklahoma.
No.
Iowa?
No. Colorado.
Colorado. I'm like, do I go north? Do I go west?
If you were, don't do this on the photos without context because I like looking at them. But if you look up the Colorado brown tarantula migration.
Let's put a picture of Colorado, like beautiful scenic picture of Colorado.
Dude, it is the most incredible thing you've ever seen. It is a carpet of tarantulas as far as you can see that are all giant.
So Hot Sauce Realm, who we enjoy and follow on Instagram and had an online store recently opened a brick and mortar. I believe they're out of Colorado. So you would not want to go visit them?
I spend a lot of time in Colorado.
Oh.
That is, other than Michigan, I've spent more time in Colorado than any other state.
Yeah.
I love being in the mountains. I'm terrified. I'm just going to take that one step and there's going to be a raccoon-sized arachnid waiting for me with arms wide open.
Just like the Creed song.
That is horrific.
Do you know that's what the song is about?
Me in the mountains getting chased down by tarantulas that are trying to hug me.
That's what's his name, Scott Stapp? Staff or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like he was just singing about tarantulas. Just ruined the song for you.
So do you know the farthest easternmost tarantula?
Tennessee.
I just want to make sure I'm getting this one right. So you said Tennessee?
Yeah.
Missouri.
Okay.
So thank God we have the Mississippi River dividing us.
Is that what's keeping them back?
It is.
Keeping them at bay?
Yes. I'm just hoping one day one doesn't find a bridge. But
I don't think there's any bridges over the Mississippi River. They should be fine.
Dude.
So this reminds me of when my daughter, who does not, my oldest does not like bears. She's terrified of bears. So the thought of a bear being anywhere near her, other than at a zoo.
Yeah. To my wife, a bear is a spider to me.
Yeah. She had me ask Google, which unfortunately, like, used to be like kids ask their parents, like, oh, like, where's, is this? And it's like, no, don't have to worry about that. It's fine. Now there's Google where I'm like, there's no bears in Michigan. And there's no bears near us in Michigan. And then she's like, ask Google. I'm like, oh, dang it. So we ask Google and it's like, oh yeah, there's like 3,000 bears in Michigan. She's like, what? I'm like, where are they located? It's like mainly UP, some northern Michigan.
Yeah.
But also I'm like,
there's more than 3,000 in Michigan. So that's probably 3,000 in the lower peninsula.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think that was what it was. But it was something where I'm like, but also it's black bear, not, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, you're thinking of grizzly bears.
Yeah.
You're thinking of like bloodthirsty.
It's a catch 22 though.
Yeah.
Grizzly bears almost never, like, fraction of a percent attack because they're hungry.
Yeah.
The exact opposite with black bears. Black bears.
I hope Emma never listens to this episode.
Black bears attack because they're hungry, which they hardly ever attack. Both bears hardly ever attack.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very rare that that ever happens. Brown bear's interested in neutralizing. Black bear's interested in eating. But for the most part, a black bear is just a really, really chubby raccoon.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're fine. I'm going to save that one part.
Yeah. I tell my wife that I'm like, there's always a chance. There's a chance of anything. But you're fine. Statistically, you are okay.
I mean, dogs attack people. There's a bunch of them around here.
Yeah. Our neighbor has a yippy little chihuahua thing. Like, you're way more likely to get screwed up by that than a black bear.
Don't worry about bears or tarantulas. Worry about
spiders. Oof, no.
Don't worry about them.
I held one once.
You told me that, and it didn't
help. Thought it was going to cure me, and on the way home, I had to pull over on the side of the highway and stand there and look at the roof of my car because there's a penny-sized spider on the top. I went home. I had the biggest chest ever. I went home. I'm like, dude, I am cured. When I look up, I'm like, no, I'm not.
You were cured for a moment. It's something where you have to just continuously hold the tarantula the entire time, and then you're fine. Because then you're like, that's not that bad. Look at this one I'm holding.
Dude, they weigh nothing. I have a picture of it. I'll send it to you. Maybe that'll be a photo without context, and we'll put a emoji over my face so Roddy never figures out what I look like.
I know. It's something where you Men in Black mind wiped him after. So he forgot. So
neuralized.
Neuralized. Yeah. So he forgot that, you know, what you look like and that you're ticklish.
That's funny.
Anyway. Yeah, you'll have to send me that photo. But let's get into the score on this one.
God, I forgot to score it.
I know. So the teacup masala. Yeah, you work on your score on this. You had way more of it. I mean, you've had a decent amount. I've had two spoonfuls. I did have one more spoonful after the initial heat. It did kind of settle. It still is a strong heat. I mean, you have that Carolina Reaper. So the flavor on this is amazing. It is one where you'll have to recommend this to people that do want that high burn. But that initial flavor, the aftertaste of it, the garam masala seasoning, the coconut milk, and even really like just the, I don't know, just the balance of the peppers with the, a little bit of the tomato paste and the coconut milk and all that blended together just works really, really well. The heat for me, I had as a +3. I had this as right on the edge of good pain. Like 4 is good pain. This was like, I'm reacting, but I think if I put this on a dish and I also didn't just have one spoonful and had that immediate kick, I think it would be an enjoyable.
Oh yeah. It would sweater. Mellow out on chicken wings.
Definitely would make me sweat. Chicken wings. Yeah. I mean, anything really goes good on chicken wings because it doesn't have to be buffalo or barbecue. It can be any flavor. It just goes good with chicken. But I had this as a 90.
I had 81.
I'm really a fan of both these sauces.
That's high for you.
That is a high one for me. And it's a high one for me as I'm suffering through it. So
yeah.
Sometimes the heat, it doesn't affect the score because the score is about the flavor of it, not about just the heat.
Yeah.
That's why the heat is a separate thing. But it is something where if you took the heat away, I would drink that bottle. If you leave the heat there, I'm still going to have a lot of it.
I'm going to try to drink that bottle.
I'm gonna drink it slower.
Mm-hmm.
But incredible sauce by Zach from High Desert.
He's got some good sauces.
He has some amazing profiles. You watch some of the things that he's cooking in the kitchen, the videos he posts, and it's just like he knows what he's doing. He has those flavor ideas. And I just love the story from the Hot Sauce Summit where he was like, the whole start of the hot sauce business for him was he was making his own barbecue sauce from scratch, and there was an ingredient that he needed that had, I forget what the ingredient was, but it was a a hot ingredient that he then was like, well, let me just make it myself. And it became a hot sauce. And I just, especially with barbecue, we talk about how like a lot of barbecue sauces are based in ketchup, and like Stanky Sauce made their barbecue sauce without a ketchup base. And it was a big challenge because everyone wants to do that. So it is just interesting to see like that development. And that taco, the Ghost of Saffron one, that doesn't last long in our house. I feel like I need to get another one.
I think we finished that bottle that day.
We might have done that, but he just has amazing flavor profiles. It's just something you can tell he was just meant to do with making these sauces. So well done on Zach. That's I'd have to see how many 90 and above I have. I think I have a couple, but I don't think
I'd say you're less than five.
I'd say five would be the most, and I'd be surprised.
I'd probably hit five.
Yeah. But that is the episode for this week. Special thank you to Summit 6 Design for any graphic or logo design needs. They designed our logo. Reach out to them. And a special thank you to, again, our sponsor, Scoville, scoville.com. Go there for that subscription box. I believe the first subscriptions are going out September 1st. So if you're hearing this, you know, see if you can get in there under the wire. But we will be posting when we get our subscription to show what sauces we got, and we'll use them. And mm-hmm. we'll probably post a little video showing how easy it is to click on the options and all that. And again, thank you to all of you for listening. However you listen, we do appreciate you. Follow us on Instagram at the Heat Source Podcast for all updates. Send us a message on there or email us at theheatsourcepod@gmail.com for any feedback, requests, or other comments. And tuning in next week, where we will be announcing the giveaway that we're doing with Scoville. So keep an eye out for that, or ear out for that, whichever one. Look out for that. Be aware of there's something coming. Yeah. Instagram will have it posted if you don't catch the episode, but there'll be more details in the episode. So thank you again, and we will talk to you next week.
See ya.
I have a joke.
Good open.
It's a good open. Why did the Arcoteryx get the worm?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Because it's an early bird.
Ah.